Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again, we are grateful for this day you have made and created, and you have enabled us to see this day, and we want to thank you for it. You are the all-wise God, and besides you, there is no other. And the heavens and earth display the works of your hands and your understanding, your wisdom, and no one compares to the wisdom that you have. And Lord God, we are grateful today for what you've done for us, incarnated in the flesh. And Lord God, you became sin who knew not sin. Father, you opened the door that the Spirit of the living God could abide within us. And we are so grateful of what you've done. And therefore, Lord, today we humbly petition you once again that your Spirit will be with us as we take this journey this night once again into your word. And Father, not only be with us with your Spirit, but let your Spirit release what we need along the way. Father, we need revelation. We need understanding. We need wisdom. And Lord God, we thank you today because, Lord God, you truly indeed is God. And besides you, so Lord, we humbly once again want to thank you for this day you have made and for this opportunity to go into your word again. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank God once again for this blessed day and another golden opportunity to be on this broadcast. This is Brother Nate and another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. And I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast. And I want to stress once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, and it doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. It's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at God's Word to Man at gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we'll give unto you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, for those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know how we do it. And I've already opened up with prayer that the Lord's Spirit would not only be just with us, but release unto us what we need as we take this journey once again into the Word of God again today. Now, there's some things that the Lord want me or have given to me to say before I go into this lesson. To those of you who are first-time listeners, this is a message that the Lord has given me to deliver to you and to those of you that have been listening. And perhaps you say, hey, I've been listening. I'm not too sure about this work of the Lord you're talking about in the last day through his angel, but hey, I've been listening for the word. Amen. He had me to stress this again. Number one, the Lord wants you to know that he is speaking a modern day word today. And once again, some of you listening say, why are you telling us this? Because there's no doubt that some of you have heard particular teachings. The Lord is not speaking today. That, you know, he spoke back in, quote, the biblical days and the days of old, but he's not speaking today. I want to say unto you that whoever is teaching that is wrong. Our God is alive and well. In fact, he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So if he has spoken back in the days of old, he surely is speaking today. So he wants you to know that he's sending a modern day word. The second thing the Lord wants you to know is that, yes, he is doing a work in these last days. Yes, he is doing a work in these last days. Once again, for some that say, well, okay, what is the reason why you have to tell that? Because I know that some of us is looking at the turmoil that's going on, whether it's in your nation, whether it's in your church, whether it's in your home. And you're looking at sin that has gotten worse and worse, and people just doing all kinds of abominable acts now in the open, openly standing up and talking about how they don't accept God or want nothing to do with God, and some of them openly doing satanic worship, and you name it, and you're looking at it, and it seems like the devil is having a heyday, and you start to wonder and say, where is God? Okay, God, where are you? Where you at? Are you doing anything? And the Lord wants you to know, yes, he is doing the work in these last days, which brings me to the third thing I need to tell you, is that Jesus is doing the work through the sending of his angel, the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, as he had promised in Matthew 17 and Malachi chapter 4. And Jesus has been sending his word through the Elijah to bring to mankind and they that will be of the bride. He first started sending his word through his angel in 1927, from 1927 to 1933, to a brother named Brother Alto Fetty. The Lord sent his angel approximately 30 times. And then from 1937 to 1994, the Lord sent his angel to another brother named Brother W.A. Draves. You know, after Brother Fetty had passed, he sent it to another brother named Brother W.A. Draves approximately 90 times, for a total of 120 times from the year 1927 to the 1994. And as I wanted to reiterate before, when I got saved, I didn't get to meet Brother Fetty. Brother Fetty had passed. I did get a chance to meet Brother W.A. Draves, very humble man. Did have a chance to go into his home where the Lord sent his angel. And I do testify that the peace of God was in that house. Amen. Praise be to God. The peace of God was in that house. And Brother Jesus passed in 1984. And the Lord is going to continue to send his angel. For those of you who say, well, hey, 120 times, if that's going to be it? No. He's going to continue to send him until the work is finished after this pattern. You say, well, who is he sending him to now? Well, so far, no one yet. Okay. But yet still, he will continue to send them according to his word. Now, tonight, I want to continue on about what I've been discussing with you for the first three parts. Tonight is Let's Talk Foundation Part 4. This is probably going to wrap this part up tonight. And I have been talking to you through the Word of God about the importance of foundation, building your life, your family life, and the church life must be built on the rock, Jesus Christ the Lord. The right foundation, not on the sand, not on man doctrines and things of man that corrode and fade away, but on the rock, Jesus Christ and his revealing power, okay? Not flesh and blood revelation that Jesus spoke of and mentioned in Matthew 16. And we have a lot of that going on today because people are relying, many are relying upon flesh and blood, quote, revelation. What man reveals from his own mind and not coming from the Spirit of God. While there are others who are relying upon the revealing power of Christ. So today, in Let's Talk Foundation Part 4, we're going to look at why does it matter what foundation we build on? And who's going to do it? Who's going to build? We talked about the right and the wrong foundation, the right one, according to what Christ said, is being built and founded on the rock. The wrong one is being founded on a sandy foundation. So why should it matter what we build on? Why is it that I can't say I'm saved and that'd be enough? Amen? You know, some people, you know, do that because one of the reasons is ignorance, because they haven't been taught And others simply just don't care about, you know, doing anything else more. They think that, hey, once I got in the front door, I'm good. I don't think I got to say as I'm saying, you know. So why is it not enough? Why does it matter about us building and building on the right foundation? And who's going to do it? Amen? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, because this is one place where Jesus really specified, you know, and become specific on this part in talking about the wise and the foolish. This, once again, goes along with the 25th chapter of Matthew when he talks about the virgins. Amen? And so, Jesus, in this 7th chapter of Matthew, actually tells us why we need to build and shows us the importance of building on the right thing and shows us who's going to build on the right thing and who's not. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 27. And the word of God said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to comment on and talk about from this passage here, a scripture that Jesus said, I want to talk about who Jesus said is going to build on the right foundation and who Jesus said is going to build on the wrong foundation. Okay? And he lays it out simple like this. Now, Jesus referred to the wise man and the foolish man. And he says, and he let us know that the wise man is going to build on the right foundation. And this wise man, according to verse 24, is whosoever. Whosoever means it doesn't matter what color you are or what gender you are. Did you get that? See, one of the things in the church world that we so divided up about is that, you know, we're picking that, well, if you're a certain color, you can't do this. And if you're a certain gender, you can't deal with that. And yes, we have, there have been, and it still has been existed, a prejudice spirit, a racial spirit, towards gender, you name it. But according to Christ, this wise man is the whosoever. So he's telling you that wise man could be a black man, it could be a white man, it could be a Chinese man, it could be a male or a female in Christ. Now understand something else too about this wise and foolish. This is referring to professing Christians. I just took a pause for a minute. I want that to sink in. He's talking, when he's talking about this wise and foolish, remember, you can, this is a more in-depth explanation, especially from Matthew 25, when he talks about the wise and foolish virgins. Because here, he gives you some more information about what made the wise and the foolish foolish. Because when we look in the parable, we may think that the only thing is about them not taking extra oil, and that is a part of it. But Jesus also lets you know the other part and what made the wise wise and the foolish foolish from the ten virgins. And here we're told that the wise man, which represent in dealing with the wise virgins, did something. He built on the right foundation. So they were virgins, or they were Christians who build on the right foundation. And they took the extra oil to do it. Hallelujah. They took the extra oil to do it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, let's continue to talk about this wise man for a minute here. Now, I want to look up the word wise in accordance here, because what the concordance, what was the original Greek word meaning there, where when King James translated, because I'm looking in the King James Bible, and said, this is what this means. Okay, so I want to go to, and this is 5429 in the Greek. Okay, the original Greek word that was there for wise, when he said the wise man, telling us about this wise, what made this person, this Christian, wise? The original Greek word there is phronimos. Phronimos means thoughtful, that is, sagacious or discreet, implying a cautious character. So this wise man had a cautious character, okay? He was sagacious, okay? Amen? A wise character, thoughtful. Thoughtful what? Towards the Lord. He was thoughtful and being cautious of what he did. Hallelujah. You know, there are some who are professing Christians don't even care about destroying their witness for Christ. They'll go out there and just do anything. You understand what I'm saying? They're not cautious in the things that they do. They just go out there and do anything. Do anything, say anything. Don't even care about destroying their witness for Christ. And this wise Christian, remember, it's a whosoever, so it can represent a male or female or any color or race. It's the believer believing in Christ had a cautious character, thoughtful toward the Lord, thoughtful toward the things of God, thoughtful in that, hey, I don't want to mess my witness up. So they didn't go out there and just do anything under the sun or everything under the sun. When you look at today, we got so many professing Christians to be like the world so bad, now they're just saying and doing whatever, but still want to claim to be a Christian. Okay? You understand that? Now, another thing we can learn from Jesus about what made this wise man or this wise Christian wise is that when he said that this wise man or wise Christian, not only did he hear these sayings of Christ, but he did it. He doeth them. Do you understand that? He heard and did. He heard and did. Okay? Hallelujah. And see, through that, this wise man was releasing or exercising his faith. You said, well, what do you mean? Remember in Romans 10, the word says, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? So faith coming by hearing or taking heed of God where it is preached or taught. But however, in that same chapter, a question was asked, have they not all heard? And the answer was yes, but they have not all what? Obeyed. See, you hear the word of God, but see, you got to obey it. That's in releasing your faith. Okay? In other words, for example, if God said, and he did say it in the word of the Lord through his angel, be prayerful and humble, and I will unveil the mysteries of the kingdom unto you. Well, you can believe in your heart and accept it that did come from the Lord. But here's the question I want to ask you. What if you didn't do it? What if you wasn't being prayerful and humble? Are you going to still get the mysteries because you're talking about, well, I believe it came from the Lord? No. What you have to do? You have to put into action what you believe. You have to do it. That's the releasing of your faith. You understand what I'm saying? And so this wise man, this wise Christian, once again, Jesus said, whosoever, so that means that could have been either color or race or gender, heard and obeyed. And through that, they used the right tools in building their house on the right foundation. One of it is faith. You understand what I'm saying? They exercise their faith, their God faith. Let me put it more specifically, because when we start saying faith, people be jumping, oh, I got it in some of everybody. We talking about God faith. And some of us as Christians, when we claiming to be operating in this faith, sometimes we find out we was not operating in the God faith. We may have been operating in the Down Thomas faith. You know, not believe it till we see it first. But this right here, this wise man built his house operating in the God kind of faith. He built it based on hearing and doing. Amen. Not waiting to see if he, well, let me see if it would this kind of come out right now. Hearing and doing. Notice he didn't build by quote logic. So you got that's one of the things that go wrong with many of the Jehovah's Witness. And they are everything they gotta be, you got the reason or logic. No, everything ain't no logic when it deals in with the Lord. Faith is, the God kind of faith is not, quote, logic. See, the God kind of faith will have you believe in God even though circumstances say, ain't no way. The God kind of faith say, hey, God, you said it. I'm holding on to your word, and I'm taking you at your word, what you said, even though my circumstances look different. Amen. Now, also in this word here, Jesus let you know once again who's not going to build on the right foundation. And he refers to this one as the foolish. So I want to look up the word foolish here. And I want to give you this original Greek word, foolish, 3474 in the concordance, 3474. Amen. I want to give you the original Greek word there. The original Greek word for foolish is moros. Moros. Moros, get this, mean dull or stupid, as if shut up, that is, heedless. Morally blockhead, absurd. That's what the foolish, that was the foolish word. Now, you know, some of you, well, you shouldn't say that. I'm giving you what the regular Greek word said. They, dull or stupid, okay? Was heedless, wouldn't heed. This represents the foolish man. This represents those who are professing to be Christians who operate in a foolish spirit. Once again, this wise and foolish he's talking about, he's not talking about dim sinners. These are professing Christians. Amen. Some of you said, well, why is not sinner? Why are you talking about sinner? Because you, according to the word of God, you know the obvious place that the sinner going if they don't repent and accept Christ as Lord. So here he's talking about, quote, in a sense, the unobvious. Well, you said, well, what do you mean by the unobvious? Because you have some among the body of Christ who teaches a doctrine called once saved, always saved. And they said that you can never be lost once you get saved. I said, well, yeah, if you stay in Jesus, but if you leave him, yes, you can be lost. Well, eternal security. Not if you're walking out of Christ. Amen. Amen. So this foolish man, once again, Jesus said, everyone that hears, see, this is what foolish man did, verse 26, the foolish heard the saying, and heeded them not. Amen. See, some of you listen today, you think just enough to go in there and hear the preacher preach, and that's it. You ain't got to live your life by the word that he's preaching or the word of God or nothing. You think because you went to Sunday school, or let's get go a little deeper, you went to preacher service, you think that's enough. So when you go to work on Monday, you just tell everybody, well, I went to church Sunday. But see, you're not trying to live according to the word of God. Okay? And the problem with some of us is thinking like the sinner. Because they think that living according to the word of God means you weak. So you got many of the sinners. I'm just going to be honest with you. What they think about Christians, they think that Christians are weak and stupid and dumb. That's the point blank. If you even told some of the sinners that, hey, you mentioned a song that was by a secular group, look at how they act. They mouth fly wide open. I didn't think you know that. Yeah, I heard of that group. I know that group. I mean, I grew up and I heard them, okay? But they actually think that you're supposed to be dumb. And so here, we see in the word of God here, Christ let us know who's going to do it and who's not. Amen. Now notice something. Two, both of them went to building. Mm-hmm. Both of them went to building their house, building their personal lives, building the lives of their family. Many of the quote leaders were building what is supposed to be the house of God, the household of faith. But see, one of them build right and the other build wrong. So why is it important? Because notice why it's important. The Bible said in verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Now notice it did it to both the wise and the foolish. Amen. But except with the wise, his house didn't fall. But the foolish, his house did. Why? Because they was on the wrong foundation. You understand what I'm saying? They're on the wrong foundation. And Christ is saying that if you don't build your personal life, spiritual life, on the right foundation, mamas and daddies, if you don't build your household on the right foundation, pastors, other leaders in the church, if you don't build a local church on the right foundation, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you, because this is what Jesus said. Rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon that house. Amen. Well, here's the question. Symbolically, what is this representing? Who brought the rain, the floods, and the wind? You know, people would say, well, you know, God. No, because God ain't trying to make you fall. So it has to be that other fella. You understand what I'm saying? See, God is permitting him to do it, to come against you with these things. Yeah. But see, God is not out. Understand this, Christian. God is not out trying to make you fall. Okay? Now, he's not out trying to make you fall. No. He will permit you to be tested by the enemy. He would allow the enemy to come at you as part of the testing. See, the building, when it beat upon the house, that house wasn't on the right foundation of the foolish one. Now, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Now, one of the meanings of the symbolic meanings of the winds can be doctrines found in Ephesians 4:11. And so when Satan brings all these other and calls even man to bring all these other strange doctrines, see, the wise one didn't fall. Why? Because he was on the right foundation, foundation of Jesus Christ. So when all these false doctrines and every wind of doctrine came to him, he wasn't carried away by it. But see, this foolish, quote, Christian was. That's why his house failed. That's why his life went down. Now, here's the one thing about the failing, you being lost. You said, well, what do you mean? When you look in in Matthew chapter 16, remember when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? And what he said, Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal it, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So for the foolish to fall, what happened? The gates of hell prevailed against them. You understand what I'm saying? Because Satan brought this rain, floods, and wind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The floods, temptations, persecutions. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are shriveling up because you're talking about how Jesus said we must repent, and there's people persecuting you about it, and you're shriveling. I'm ashamed to even talk about it. Listen, when you stand on the foundation, just like the foundation principles of faith, repentance, baptism, eternal judgment, resurrection of dead, a laying on of hands, the baptism, then guess what? You're going to be persecuted by it. And Satan is going to send these persecutions, but which one is you going to represent? Are you going to represent the wise man or the foolish? Because if you represent the foolish, you're going to build your house upon what man say. Amen. When man say, well, you know, you really ain't got to repent. You know, Jesus love everybody. Oh, really? And you'll build your life on it. You'll build your household on it. You'll build the local church on it. Amen. Hallelujah. When they say, well, you don't really just have to believe God. Just love him. He understands. And you'll start building the wrong foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, this the house of the foolish fell. Okay? The gates of hell prevailed. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. But the gates of hell prevailed against the wise man. Hallelujah. And so Jesus leave it up to us which one we're going to be. Amen. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate Leader? Oh, yeah. Listen, even though you're saved, you ain't a robot. God did not take away your free moral agency, your free will. He didn't take it away. You can either choose to build on the right foundation or you don't have to. And if you choose not to, then you suffer the consequences. That's the thing. And when Brother Manny was on the broadcast, will be, I think that was Tuesday night. That's one of the things we were talking about. See, you got a choice. You got a choice. God is not going to make you build on the right foundation. Now, it brings joy to his heart if you do. And it will sadden his heart if you don't. But his word is his word. Okay? And it might sadden his heart if you don't and you go down. But he's not going against his own people. Not going to happen. Hallelujah. So we got to make up our mind. But once again, ain't nobody, whether you the wise or the foolish, ain't nobody exempt from the rains and floods and all this coming. And you know, and one other thing I want to say about, he says, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew. Now, we know floods can be an overabundance of water. And, you know, it's just like here in Durant, for example. And I have been telling some people on my job this through the past few years a few times. Here's the thing about Durant that I've seen. If there's a, let's say, long continuous rain, and this is not just Durant, but many places, but I'm going to give you a Durant example because Durant is small and things I really see happen. Now, to me, honestly, a continuous rain, especially if it's a slow rain, let's say 2 days straight here in Durant, let's say most of the day, you will see Durant flooded. And not every area flooded, but many areas. I mean, some areas, you look at people's yard, you don't even see the yard no more. It's like a pond. I ain't trying to be funny, but it is. And see, like, in the neighborhood I'm in, the houses are all close to one another. I mean, in other words, you can just tiptoe and be over in your neighbor's yard. But anyhow, what I'm saying is that I see for the yards here, after a let's say, 2 days raining in a row, especially 3 days, where their yard flood to a point like it just, and they don't just stay in their yard. I want you to understand this. It floods the road. Roads even be flooded. And that comes from a continuous rain, sometimes what we may call a long rain or a slow rain that is continuous, especially if it's continuous most of the day or 2 or 3 days in the road. I say that to say this. When Jesus said here the rain descended and the floods came, okay, we can look at in one sense that that rain was a continuous thing that built up and caused floods. You understand what I'm saying? And so we have to continue to build our house on the right foundation, because here in this lifetime, we're going to face temptations and the enemy constantly trying to bring things at us. But see, we would not fall if we're built on the right foundation. Because remember, all these things, the rain, the floods, and the winds, beat upon the house. It hit upon the house with the intention of doing what? Making the house fall. But the wise man's house did not fall, but the foolish did. And that's why I tell you that it's the enemy, not God, because God is not trying to purposely make you fall. Okay? Let's remember that. God is not going to tell you 1 minute and say, obey my word, walk in righteousness, and at the same time do some stuff to try to make you sin. No. He may permit you or suffer you, like it said in 1 Corinthians 10, that God would not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. So the word suffer is dealing with permit. He might permit the enemy to come at you with temptations and trials, but God personally is not trying to make you fall. Period. Amen. Hallelujah. And just like if a husband, a Christian husband, and let's say these women, you know, a Christian husband, he married, and these women come flirt with him. Well, if he sit up there and say, well, you know, God is testing me, and he thinking God is sending these temptations. No, he ain't. God ain't trying to make you sin. He is allowing the enemy to send the temptation. See, if anybody wants you to sin or fall, it's the devil. So who you think going to do his best to try to make you fall, whatever he can bring, it's going to be Satan. It's not going to be God. God is not trying to make you fall. Amen. If God is telling you to walk in holiness and then to make you sin, then his character is deceiving. And God does not carry a deceiving character. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, the enemy brings these rain, floods, and winds. And he brings and in that is persecution. Because the Bible said in Revelation 12 that he let out water, the dragon let out water from his mouth like a flood. Okay? Amen. And see, the true believers is going to suffer persecution for building on the right. Do you know how many people, you know, when you talk about repentance today, how many so-called, quote, Christians are just frowning about that now? They don't even want you to talk about repentance. And don't you bring it up about something they've done, because they'll tell you you can't judge them. Following the same pattern of the world. Because the world say, hey, I can cuss and fuss, and I can even make songs that is lustful and sexual and be used by the devil to promote people to commit adultery and. But don't you tell me I'm wrong for that. Don't you judge me. And so now in the church or among the body of supposed to be believers, that same spirit has crept among the people. And now the people, some of the people who's supposed to be saved are saying the same stuff. They're talking the same way. Don't you judge me. And so they think that, okay, I can go out and do anything. I can, even though I'm claiming to be a Christian, I can promote some ungodly stuff. And don't you dare tell me I'm doing wrong. Don't you dare tell me I'm sinning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How you going to stand if you get off faith? Part of the foundation. How you going to stand if you get off repentance? What are you going to say? Because, man, these things to the enemy, and it causes us to fall. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we was looking at tonight, why? Why does it matter? What we build on. And the Word of God shows you why. And it tells you why. Christ tells us why. Okay? Amen. He let us know why. So don't think that because you got saved, you think that that's just enough. You can go around and tell people, I'm saved. Well, praise God. Thank God you're saved. But now you got to do something else now. You got to build. You got to build. Amen. And see, some of the pulpits are not telling people this. Why? Because they're glad just to have you a member of the church. Let's be real. More members, more money in the collection plate. More that we can do to add on to the building. Amen. That's what they're big time about. That's why some of the ministers, they try to be very careful about what they say in some of their sermons, because they know if you out there committing sin and they preach on a certain thing and they see your eyebrows raising up real high and giving them that funny look, they're afraid that next week, next Sunday, and then from that time on, they won't see you no more. You at the other church down the street and get a word from somebody, one of the members there, that, hey, we just got a new member. Amen. That's why you got some people in the church, they don't want a true prophet of the Lord to talk to them. Why is that? Because they think that you got some people that think that all prophets are supposed to just say cars and houses for you. But when a true prophet of the Lord speak correction, they that can't be God. He's gonna tell me some stuff like that. I won't hear that no more. Pastor, don't you invite him no more. I'm telling you, okay. Amen. Now, you can take the word or take this word. You can reject it. It's up to you. But this is what I say. And I don't care whoever wants to say, well, you just being braggadocious about your religion and all this. I don't care what they say. I'm going by what Jesus said. If you don't build on the right foundation, that Christ says, which is the right foundation. Let's put it more specific like that. Not what you think is the right foundation. What Christ says the right foundation. If you don't build on that foundation, you're going down. Anyway, I don't care if it's me, you, or anybody. You're going down. The gates of hell is going to prevail against you. Period. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God talks about God's people being peculiar. And see, when it talks about being peculiar, it means these are people that don't flow the normal way of the world. Okay? See, you got some who claim to be saved. This is what they call peculiar. 3 or 4 earrings in their nose, hair in a punk rock style, you know, dressing with pants that got cut all holes up in it. And all kinds of looks to themselves and talking about, I'm just God said we're peculiar. Not that kind of peculiar. He ain't talking about that. He's talking about when you're peculiar, especially to the world, where you don't flow like the world. You don't flow in the world's pattern. You go by the things. That's the peculiar God's talking about. He's not talking about you trying to show a big time image and all that. Amen. As Frederick Price would say, Brother Frederick Price, hallelujah. You know, Amen. I've been thinking about this foundation because, you know, you hear and you see so many churches who treat it like it's not important. And this is why in many of the churches, you got some or whoever up there, they in the pulpits, they lead Sunday school. Just the night before was just flat drunk and drank every night, every Saturday night, flat drunk with no conviction and getting up Sunday morning and leading the Sunday school. And many of the pastors know this. Amen. Some of them is doing whatever they want to do under the sun. And some of these pastors know this. They're not even caring about building on the foundation Christ laid. And some of the pastors is ain't no thought about, you know, we want to build on what Christ said. No. Why? Because some of us can't take the persecution. We can't take being talked about. Amen. You know what it's like? It's like if you're the only Christian among sinners, and these sinners is going to go, let's say, steal something. And you the only one in the bunch say, you know, y'all, that ain't right. You know, the Lord said they ain't right. And they turn around and say, oh, man, we don't want to hear this, start jumping down on your case. And you got some people like that who profess to be Christian. They ain't going to speak up and say nothing because they scared. Oh, they going to all talk about me. Yeah, they are. And see, you don't want to face that, so you join in with them. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. For the word. For the message tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Is God, and besides him, there is no other. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, we're grateful, Lord, for this day you've made and created. Lord God, how you blessed us on this day. And Lord God, how you enable us to understand your word that you allow to be written. So, Heavenly Father, this day, in the name of thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord, that you will help us on this journey. And I pray that you will bless everyone that was tuned in tonight to the broadcast and keep them and their family, their loved ones, in Jesus' name. And make us all strong and in the power of your might. And Lord God, we'll give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all you that have been listening to the broadcast. Once again, don't forget tomorrow night, Heart to Heart, with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I'll be joining them there. In the name of Jesus, look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast, and may God bless you, and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh!